The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. It's Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. Been doing that radio thing for four decades. By the way, it is no secret. We're going to be kicking off Mission Minded in a new format that we're really, really excited about. The thousands of folks we have listening every single week, we're going to be joining the staff at 101.1 The Truth, which is Christian radio, coming up in sometime 2026. We're really excited about not only taking this show on a different platform from a terrestrial standpoint, but it covers four states. And so we're going to be talking about business. We're going to keep the business model, but we're also going to be talking from a Christian standpoint, which would be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to it, my partner. And it's neat how I didn't know when you and I started this show three, 4 years ago, I wasn't sure how we're going to. I know it was kind of your idea. Hey, I would do this business show, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, and to see it grow and into fruition into something that we can take it to another level is a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some email questions that I want to get into, and just some regular topical business stuff I want to throw at you real quick. We have Verna in Birmingham wants to please ask Michael Coleman what I should do with my pennies. Obviously we're not doing the pennies now. If you've gone to stores, and even banks, they round it out now. I don't know if you know that. I went to Best Buy yesterday, and they do not give out pennies anymore. Pennies are not being given out anywhere anymore. They are rounding it up. I'm not sure how that works for a lot of people. So if you're at 3 cents, it's five or down to one, I guess. So you're getting screwed 2 cents, or you're gaining 2 cents one way or another. But now we have all these pennies because it was costing us, 3.4 cents per penny to make one penny, which is worth one penny, which doesn't make any sense at all. Won't be long before we no longer have, and then I'm sure the nickel will be next. What should we do with our pennies?
Well, I used to have a huge penny collection too.
Like I did
a
too.
Lot of people. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. So if you're one of those that's got that, I don't know if the banks will still take it, but if it will, I would advise cashing out. Now, I know banks, way back when I was a kid, you could take a bag of pennies up and they would roll them for you and all that. You can't do that. But what you can do is there are money machines, coin machines in Walmart and things like that.
Publix has got one. Yeah, they get you 11%, though. That's the only thing. It costs you 11% now.
Well, the one at Walmart now, of course, it's been a couple of years since I've done it. And the reason I happen to know about this is Baptist South Hospital has a fountain every year, and every year they empty the fountain and they scrape up all the coins.
Yeah.
They're molding everything. There's about $400 worth of, but what we have to do is clean them, and then we take them and dump them. So what you can do is, you're right, they will take it. They will take a fee, but if you spend it in Walmart, they didn't charge you a fee.
Oh, okay. So that's good.
Yeah. So I don't know if Publix is the same way.
They're not.
Most people.
They're not. Yeah.
But so I said all that to say, if those machines will still take pennies, then I would go cash them out as soon as you could, because that's not going to be around for long.
Do you think in 500 years they'll be worth anything?
Well, let me tell you, they are doing a special stamp. I think it's on the last five pennies that are going to be printed. So there's only going to be five, and it's a special stamp on it. And they said already those things could be worth $1 million in value.
What's that stamp look like, you know?
No, I mean, when I say stamp, it's going to be, they're going to have some type of special mark.
I think it's coming out of Philly too. I think it's the Philly, and it obviously it'll have to have a PR.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, but it's already like collectors are like, doing everything.
Oh yeah, I remember. I guess we have all. I used to have a coin collection, and I remember finding my first steel penny, which a lot of people don't know, from 1943 when they were trying to save copper. They had steel pennies. They're steel.
Yeah.
They're super cool. They sound weird. I still have one. I always remember seeing, the wheat thing on the wheat pennies. I always you knew you had something special when you got a wheat penny, yeah. And they're still kind of cool looking. They're different.
Yeah,
so
it's
kind of sad that that's actually kind of going away, but I certainly understand where we're going here. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net, InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. Ted in Northport says, I know you're Trump lovers. I know you're Trump lovers, and Trump keeps saying that he wants all the power to go to the states. Then why is he banning states to not reform their AI situation? As a matter of fact, I just saw this on the news this morning. Evidently, he is telling states that he will take away some of their funding if they try to put any type of reformation or any type of stance on their AI. Obviously states are they're realizing they have something here that could be a major problem. I saw a story on 60 Minutes this past weekend about a 13-year-old daughter who committed suicide after she had a long relationship with Caricature AI, which is one of these AI companies. And you can basically put any face, any name, any voice. She was actually doing it with a Travis Kelce AI. It sounded like Travis Kelce. It looked like Travis Kelce. And within five voices, if you will, going back and forth, it was telling her to take her clothes off and do all these horrible things. I was like, good God almighty, it scared the hell out of me. The father of this girl was like, yeah, you know, my daughter came home from school, she's straight A student, she's part of Girl Scouts, and she says she's going up to her room to do her homework. I think nothing of it, and come to find out she was having a conversation with this robot. And they're so damn real. It scares me. I'll be honest with you, as a parent, it scares the hell out of me. It really does, because we got adults like you and I who are having relationships with computers. They know they're computers. They know they're not real, but they say all the things you want to hear, which is really sad. Anyway, that's not really what I wanted to get to. What's your idea on AI? You and I have done several shows on AI. What's your thoughts on where it's going? And the United States, again, we're a 2-year-old baby who can't seem to get out of her own damn way. We don't know how to deal with freedom. We have all these wonderful things. And then every other country out there is already, they're like light years ahead of us on this stuff. And they're like, yeah, this is what you need to do. But yet we seem to have to learn on our own. But what are your thoughts on whether, first of all, let's take it from the state standpoint, should states have more power?
Well, it depends on what the issue is. I generally am somebody who believes in states' rights. I generally believe that regardless of what the issue is, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what Trump's argument is or what the concern is. I don't know if it's commerce related, that they're going to tax it, but who knows what his stance is. And just in terms of being a Trump lover, I love some of the policies. I like securing our nation. I like some of those things. And there are other things about Trump that I'm not a fan of. But anyway, I try to take it issue by issue. But I'm generally a fan of states' rights. And the reason is because I'm a market guy, and I think competition, regardless of what subject you're talking about, and I'm chasing a rabbit here just for a second. So the health care, the Obamacare was the Affordable Care Act. And all these subsidies were built in, and there's nothing there, but there's no competition. In Alabama, we know primarily you have Blue Cross Blue Shield. There's a little bit of Humana, Health United, but companies are not allowed to compete across. And I think one of the bills that's being written now is trying to encourage that, because anytime you have a monopoly, you're in essence, we have to pay. Blue Cross Blue Shield comes back with, if they say, well, we're going up 10%, and they're not competing in the marketplace. So what I think, bringing that down to a state's rights issue, I think, like for education, I think there ought to be 50 different experiments going on. Each state does it their way. And then you look and say, which one is producing the best results, that's the most effective, and what you want, and then you adopt and you learn and you grow and you improve. And I just think that competition in every aspect of life, it generally is healthy. There are exceptions, won't go into all that. So I don't know what Trump's particular purpose is or issue is, and I don't know what the threat is. But I will tell you that every state is going to legislate AI, are going to try to. And I think what Trump is wanting to do is make sure that it's not overregulated, that it keeps down business growth and you bog it down to where it really puts it. It doesn't allow America as a whole to grow to and utilize AI to its full capacity. And I've said this many, many times. No matter what you do, AI in and of itself, just like the internet, just like anything else, is neutral. It's just a tool.
Yep.
It's a person when it gets in their hands, depends on what they do with it. So the same internet that increases productivity, the same AI that's increasing productivity, that's helping companies grow, that's producing wealth, all those kind of, those are all great things. I mean, I use AI every single day. I love it. Now, is it possible that nefarious people, like you said, want to create a bot and pretend to be in a relationship and somebody ends up killing themselves from it? Yeah, I mean, there's just going to be those people out there that have those weapons. But
do you believe there should be some legislation that if you're going to, and the two guys that did this were from Google. They created this 5 years ago. Google let them go because they weren't allowing them to go to the limits of what they thought AI could be. And now we're learning that. And Google's like, we're not doing this because we don't want to be responsible for it. And then they end up hiring them back once they decided to say, okay, listen, because they know how far it can go. It can go as far as you want it to go.
There's some things, there are already some limits on AI. You can't produce ways to hurt other people. I mean, you'll put some commands in AI and it'll say, cannot produce the results you're looking for. So there are some limits, like, you know, teach me step by step how to build a bomb, you know, walk me through. There's all sorts of things. But my point is generally there's so many factors, like, OK, so you've got some nefarious guy who's creates a bot. Well, then you've got this young girl who's created a whole image who's not even living in reality. My guess is that it does exploit people who already have mental health issues, who are already don't have good social etiquette. And it brings that out and it takes advantage of them. So again, I'm not against all regulation. I think any industry you use, you could talk about college football right now. Do I think NIL needs to be regulated? Yes, I do. But you don't want to regulate it to the point that you suppress it. And typically, I'm more on the Republican side of less regulation, which gives you more freedom, versus overregulation, which is costly and non-market.
And again, we're going through a time of our lives where, man, you think about what our lives, what our generation's going through with cell phones and internet and AI. I mean, we're going through some major stuff right now, man. I mean, this is life changing stuff. This isn't like the pet rock. When we're talking about, this is stuff that's going to form us and make us who we are 50, 60, 70 years from here.
One of the things I've mentioned this before, but, and I don't know, don't hold me to the exact figures, but it was a thing like, how long did it take society as a whole to adopt to the telephone? Mm-hmm. How long did it take to adopt electricity? How long did it take to adopt to indoor plumbing? All those kind of things. AI, even the internet, where it becomes the, and when I say adopt or adapt to it, where over 50% of the population is using it. Mm-hmm. So you went and like the internet was like 16 years or something, 15 or 16 years. Excuse me. But the AI has been less than 2 years, where over 50% are using it in some degree. And so the transformation of society with information, the internet, all that kind of stuff, it's rapid. So changes are becoming, everybody knows about it, can see it right in front of them, can adapt it, can play with it, can utilize it. So things are going to be coming
And it's free too. I mean, a lot of people, it's a free thing. And like most things, just like, even like Zoom, it's not free anymore. I mean, eventually they're going to pay for it because they possibly can. Since we're talking about it, Australia just put a ban on anyone under the age of 16, getting on social media. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's probably a wise decision. I think when you talk about regulation, Alabama and many other states have outlawed phones in school. I think that is a wise decision. So, again, we've learned that kids can't think and can't talk. I just asked somebody the other day, it was a teacher, and I said, what's the effect been on the phone? And it was like the lunchrooms are just as noisy as they were back when you and I were growing up, because everybody's head's not down looking at their phone. Good. So it'll prevent a lot of things like cyberbullying, a lot of those kind of things. And so I do think countries make, you know, overall decisions. But I also, you know, it says in our Constitution and that, you know, I think it's the 10th Amendment about states' rights. So the struggle is always, is this a federal issue where the federal government comes in? So the guy sent the email in, whatever's AI, as a country, is this something that needs to be done? This calls a national security or national interest, or should we give it to the states to say, you put whatever regulation on social media you want to? And again, I usually defer to the states' rights issues, but you know, it can lead you to some bad places sometimes.
I wish we were smart enough to just do the right thing. So, I mean, the reason we have rules and regulations is because someone pushes the envelope, period. I mean, whether it's NIL, transfer portal, AI, whatever, we're always going to have people that we have extremes in everything we do. And like AI to me is just an amazing tool. It's such a wonderful thing. And I could certainly see where a human, I could certainly see where a 13 or 14 year old actually believes after a while that they're having a conversation with a real thing. I really believe that. Yeah. I mean, and these aren't kids that are mentally deficient or anything. They're normal kids. We have adults out there that they can't wait to get in their car at home or whatever on the way home to have a conversation with their chatbot. Period. I mean, it's true. And these are normal human beings. So I get it.
But the problem is, though, in our country, it's rooted in the idea of freedom.
Yeah.
And so the idea is when you regulate, it's not even whether the regulation is a good idea or not. Set that aside. I think the vast majority of people, of parents, let's say, would say, yes, I think social media. But you cannot violate the Constitution. And so one of the things is this freedom. So judges then have to, and it's going to ultimately go to the Supreme Court and those kind of things. What is it that we can regulate in life? And what is it that we can't? Because the Constitution ensures our freedom.
Yeah.
And
so and along with that comes a huge responsibility, a huge obedience, and we're not very good at that because we're human and that's the way it is. And I, you know, as a parent, I love it. Because I have a 13-year-old daughter and I can see it and it scares the hell out of me. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. It scares the bejeebers out of me. I mean, even my oldest son, who's 21, he's like, Dad, this AI stuff is crazy. I mean, and he's a smart kid. He's getting A's at Clemson. He's going to be something really special. And he's like, man, in the wrong hands, I could really see where this can really change a person's life. And he has some anxiety and depression issues that I could see where someone could lock themselves up for days and never leave based on this stuff. So,
when this comes out and we start playing it out and then we start seeing some dangers and then there will be legislation and it's all, yes, AI is very powerful tool, but we always go through this. Forget if it's something new and it's useful. It doesn't matter if it's an industry thing, robotics, doesn't matter. Eventually, as it's played out, we start seeing the downsides or people start abusing it. And then it comes up as a public interest issue. And then we try to decide, well, how to regulate it. Does it go nationally? Does it go statewide? Does it just go local? Or is it, you know, I think some would argue that, hey, we're parents. Parents can regulate their own families.
They but should. Again, the hey, do you remember again, we sitting by the TV? Is, there were three stations and Dad said you had an hour. Then you're going outside. And it worked. Now I know it's a different time. And we had this conversation. We had this conversation.
13-year-old.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
You want your daughter to be the only one that doesn't have social media access
exactly.
to all her friends?
Yeah, I know. We were on Fox 6 yesterday, and Dr. Josh, who's quite liberal the other way, was like, what about the paraplegic? What about the 15-year-old kid who can't walk and can't? And he's like, okay, you're talking about an extreme. You're talking about one situation. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of paraplegics and kids in wheelchairs. I certainly understand. Yeah, it's not good. Nothing's going to be perfect for everyone. But and maybe in a situation where you have something like that, maybe there's a special, I don't know, rule or something. You know, if you're 13-year-old and you can't leave your house, you can get on social media. I don't know. It just seems kind of crazy. I will say this, and I'm going to bring this up because I don't think we could bring this up on our new format. But I have a friend of mine who is in his 20s. He's learning on the go. And he likes, looking at porn. Mm-hmm. And, I've known this guy now for about 3 or 4 years. It's not to say sometimes I'll look over and he'll be on his phone. I know he's looking at pictures and I'm like, whatever. And he's like, you know, Pornhub. And I was like, yeah, I'm aware of what Pornhub is. He goes, you know, we can't get Pornhub in Alabama anymore.
Yeah.
And I said, really? And he goes, I said, why? And he goes, well, you go to the site and it says, you know, because of legal blah, 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 blah. And there's some sexy woman on there talking about it. He showed me
it's a law.
He
showed me the video. Do it. Yeah. You have to verify your age.
Well, and you either have to join the group, which 99% of the people don't want to do because they know they're going to be getting stuff all day, every day through their phone. Hey, I'm a mile down the street. Come meet me, blah, 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 blah. Anyone that's ever if you've ever gotten on your browser and just put the word in nude in there within a half a second, you're going to get something on your phone, popping up your phone.
Sure.
I get that. But you know what he said? He said, I don't look at porn anymore. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I would have thought, you know, he goes, every morning I get up and I you know, it's just something that's part of I go through my Twitter account. I look at some pictures. I do this, that, the other. And he goes, and because now that that's not accessible to me anymore, I don't even want to go because I'm afraid, you know, I don't want to go in some rat hole and have some viral thing hit my phone because I know how nasty it is. And I was watching it and I said, well, there you go. And you could tell he was kind of proud of himself. And I said, well, good for you. He goes, He goes, you know, I used to spend a half an hour, 45 minutes every day, you know, Googling girls' names or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, there you have it. You know, maybe sometimes regulations help.
Think about in our country, though, we tried that. When you talk about regulating morality, and I don't want to make this come across like I'm pro porn, but we tried prohibition back in the days, and that lasted a very short time, and then they repealed it, and so that's the part that we wrestle with is. Yeah, I could be so opposed to pornography. I could be opposed to gambling. I can be morally opposed to a lot of different things. But in America, do I have the right to impose my value system on another person? And I think collectively as a society, sometimes we have a shared value and you can institute a law and that can be like, sometimes you'd have dry counties. I don't know how many dry counties still exist. My county
Lynchburg, Tennessee, where Jack Daniels is made, still dry.
Still. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably a good idea.
It probably is.
But it all matters what the issue is, what the context is, but I'm telling you, eventually when you start butting up into people's freedoms and trying to determine what they can and cannot do.
He was upset.
There's always going to be this tension.
He's like, I can't believe I got a cell phone. I can do whatever the hell I want. I can't believe I can't look at my pictures. And I'm like, well, you can on that site. You know, I'm sure you could find something else. All you got to do is Google. He's like, well, I'm not going there because it's going to put me in the dark web, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, maybe this is, maybe this is God's wink at you going, listen, knock it off. Maybe you can spend that 45 minutes, you know, going outside and swinging your daughter on the swing set or something. Love this next question. This is from Marcy in Vestavia. It's about our health insurance. And I love the fact that we can go all different directions on this business show. This is great. She said, I'm currently paying $200 a month for my health insurance through the Obamacare. I'm getting a subsidy of about $700 a month. She said, and I just went and pulled up my stuff, and my health insurance is going to cost $950 a month starting January 1st. That's going to happen one way or another, because they're not going to change anything. They just did the vote yesterday. They both said no. Even if they end up getting this thing extended, it probably won't be till February before we're going to see anything. She's like, I can't afford $950 a month. What am I supposed to do? And I think a lot of people are in that same boat. And that's the question that we keep hearing about. 38 million people are going to lose their stuff, or 38 million people are going to have their prices go up triple and blah, blah, blah. Okay, they are. So what are we supposed to do? So for that person who, and there's a large, we're talking 9% of Americans out there that are in the same boat. Are we supposed to go without insurance? Should we bite our lip and go and hope like hell that the extension goes through? What would you do?
Okay, so I can't necessarily advise what to do, but let me just provide a little context and understanding on both sides of the issue. The people who put Obamacare together, it was clearly structured. If you go back and look at it and analyze it, it was structured to have these huge government copays, or not copays, but subsidies. And there was nothing to keep. So they knew over time that the subsidies were going to get larger and larger and larger. And that's taxpayer money.
Yep.
To pay it. Okay. So, and that was going to the insurance companies, and it just got bigger, bigger, bigger. So there's no incentive to stop those subsidies. The reason that they did it, I believe, I think it's pretty clear, is the reason they made those temporary and not permanent, which the Democrats, when they were in office, could have made that those subsidies permanent, but they didn't. Temporary. That's why they ran out this past, are going to run out the end of this month, is because they want to, when it got so high like this, it would be their leverage to create a single payer system, government system, which is what the Democrats want. And look, I've talked with many people on the left and many people on the right about this. You can look at situations like Canada where you say everybody's got health care, and you go, okay, great. That sounds great, except when you need an X-ray or an MRI, because everybody has access to it. So the guy on the street who's not working, who doesn't care about life, he's just a ne'er-do-well, let's say, he's not doing anything in society. Everybody's getting it now. And you might say, well, that's a universal right. We all should take care of everybody in our country. Go, okay. Well, that means that now when I need an MRI, I've got to wait 4, 5, 6 months for an MRI, just for the MRI. And then that may lead to surgery, which is another 6. So people with a lot of money in Canada, they just skip that. They come here. And it's a less efficient. So, yes, is everybody covered? Yes. But they raise taxes, so everybody's going to pay more. And so it's not a panacea. I'm not arguing for or against it. I was in military health care, which is a form of that. And it was limited how many doctors. So sometimes, like even with the VA now, you call up and you want to get an appointment, and there's not an appointment for 2 or 3 months to see a doctor. So now, in terms of this person who just emailed, more sympathetic I could not be towards your situation. It hurts my heart for you to know that, you know, you have this subsidy and it's going to go away. And you're right, you can't pay it. Now, I think what the Republicans are trying to do, at least as I heard it listed out by John Thune and some others, is that they are trying to bring market forces, if they can, in here. And the idea was, and this was voted down because they have to have 60 to pass anything in the Senate. The idea is to give everybody a health savings account where you can get money, and then you shop the most competitive plans for what you want.
Yeah.
So as a younger person, maybe you just need a catastrophic policy. But maybe if you're somebody with health issues, you're going to need more care, more doctor's visits, whatever. But you've got company, you've got four companies out there who can provide that care. And now there's competition built in because they're trying to get your dollars. Mm-hmm. So that those free markets will all competition always drives down costs. I could just give you an quick example. The first my dad is an insurance agent, bought his first calculator back in the early 70s for $270. And now, you know, you get them on your phones, but you can buy them at the store for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Competition when things, anyway. So you bring in that and you reduce some of those barriers. And it's the idea is that people will have the ability to then shop and get their health care. And then when they go to one healthcare system, another thing that market forces do, when you go to one healthcare system because they're the fastest or the best or they get most bang for the buck, then the other ones are going to be forced to change to compete.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Competition makes everything better. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't solve anything for this person right now. And I totally get what's going on. There are considerable amount of people who are going to lose this. Now, I will know that there were five Republicans who voted with Democrats yesterday across political boundaries to vote for the Democrats plan. What they wanted to do was extend the subsidies 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then once they did it for 1 year is to go back and then rebuild the plan, because right now the plan is just endless subsidies, more and more tax, more and more debt, without any real cure. The whole system was built on, you know, the promises of, oh yeah, each family's going to save $2,500 a month and all that kind of stuff. And if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you keep your plan. All that, and all of that was let's just say not true, or turns out it didn't work out like it was promoted. Healthcare is incredibly expensive. It is out of control. I think the more government gets involved, and last thing I'll say about this universal healthcare, one of the things they're experiencing right now in Europe is this call for more euthanasia. I believe it's the two places it's legal is Norway and the Netherlands. But one of the things, so assisted suicide. And what we were talking about is ultimately, if the government's in control and I'm 80 years old and all of a sudden I have something that's like, surely it's going to be very expensive and I only have a couple of years left anyway. And the government can decide, we're not going to cover that for an 80-year-old. We'll cover it for a 50-year-old. We're not going to. So they call them death panels.
Yeah.
So they authorize people to do assisted suicide. Well, now you got this 20-something-year-old who has severe mental health issues, and they're allowing people in their 20s to kill themselves with assisted suicide. So it's gotten very messy very quickly with that. So there's all of these moral issues. There's ethical issues. There's tax issues. Is it fair? I mean, the vast majority of people get it through the workforce. I get it. There's some people who can't get it through the workforce or can't get it through their own companies. But the question is it the responsibility of other people who are paying their taxes to pay the health insurance of other people?
Yeah.
And I know that sounds, it's just one of the questions. So it's a huge complex problem.
It's weird from and I'll speak because I'm self-employed and I never had to deal with this, and I'm dealing with it the same thing. My price is going to go up fivefold. And so I'm at this point where I'm like, okay, I went 3 years without health insurance when I first got divorced because it was too expensive and I was paying for my wife who had all kinds of issues. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, do I just want to go ahead and bite my lip and go for, you know, as long as I can and hope that nothing catastrophic happens? Do I want to hold on to it? And you know, it'd be great.
Or get a catastrophic coverage.
Yeah, just get something. Yeah, but
it's not going to cover a routine doctor visit.
Exactly. But I mean, it's still going to be expensive, because if I get the flu or I need to go to a doctor or go to the whatever, it's still going to be expensive. So yeah, that's one of the situations. And it's funny because, you know, like, say, for example, and I'll use my ex as an example. My ex could go get a job and she gets health insurance, right? And I even thought of driving a bus. Bus drivers get health insurance.
Yep. Good. And I know a lot of people that drive a school bus.
Health insurance. Insurance. Their families get health insurance. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, I could get health insurance for my entire damn family if I go drive a bus for 20 hours a week. That comes out to $30,000-$40,000 a year. I mean, it does. I mean, it's almost like, so yeah, I guess it's just, it's really screwy how it works. And I always think to myself, you know, it's weird because, you know, I could take this 15-hour job and go get health insurance for my entire family, which could amount to $50,000, or I could sit there and try to figure out how to make it on my own. And it's cost me a nut and I may not even need to use it. And now, you know, I'm turning 60 this coming year. So yeah, my heart bleeds for these people. And,
I'm trying to deal with facts, but also I know it's real people who potentially are going to suffer and have anxiety about how am I going to pay for health care.
And these aren't bottom dwellers. I mean, we're not talking about poor people. I mean, I'm one of them. I mean, we're talking about normal middle level people who are making $60,000-$70,000 a year and just trying to make a paycheck to paycheck, and can't figure it out. So it's quite the bummer. So all right, we got a boogie, man. We go a little long. Great stuff. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Keep those emails coming. We'll go around it, and don't forget to join us on our brand new show. We're going to start promoting that right now, because it'll be here before you know it. 101.1 The Truth is called Mission Minded. It's going to be the same show, so you'll find it. And we are going to try to work it out, because of the system they use. We will not have cameras, so we want to make sure that people can see our lovely faces when we do our show. So we'll make sure that's part of that deal as well. So thank you so much, my man. BBB, Bite by Bites, coming up here next. A show specific to the Heart of Alabama Food Bank in Feeding America. We'll get to that next right here on Tony Curry Radio. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, my friend. I appreciate you.
You as well, bud.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.